from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning! Good morning and a happy Monday to you listening on the radio, listening on the free Odyssey app. Shout out to everybody hanging out with us in the chatty house as well at twitch.tv/ESPN1320 and ESPN YouTube.com/ESPN1320. That guy right there, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. James, I hope you had a good weekend. I hope it was not too eventful. We were just talking about, like, being busy on a weekend is weird because you can be busy but still enjoying your weekend. It can still be a fun weekend.
I try to have as few commitments as possible, on the weekends.
Sure.
In general, we try to not have, 8 million things going on.
Yeah, yeah,
right? Sometimes we go, away for a weekend and you have some things planned, but, for the most part, I like to sleep in on the weekends, which doesn't happen anymore. I can't sleep in for some reason. And then I like to just chill and go for a walk or two, get out on the boat, splash around in the water.
Sure.
I had a few too many things to do this weekend, but it all worked out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, being busy on a weekend doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. Got stuff going on. I golfed yesterday.
That's nice.
I stayed with some friends up in Sacramento on Saturday night because we had to leave for golf early on Sunday morning.
Oof. Yep.
So it had a lot going on, but no, it was a good weekend. Hope everybody else out there had a good weekend. Our guy Bryce has had a great weekend. He is listening to the show live in Disneyland.
Oh, again?
Yeah, no, he's still there.
Wow.
Yeah. Just hanging out.
He must think that is the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, as he should.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Good for him. I don't have my buttons on yet, but good for Bryce. Sasha Vezenkov. We had some strange Kings news from over the weekend. So the moral of the story, the punchline here, is that Sasha Vezenkov's time with the Kings appears to be over. Now, there were conflicting reports over the weekend. The first one said that Vezenkov was told by the Kings that he's not going to be part of the team anymore.
Yes.
But then the second report said Vezenkov told the Kings that he's not going to be part of the team anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of an odd juxtaposition of things because those two things are very, very different.
No, they are very, very different. So, again, we have Matteo Andriani. I do my best to try to vet these guys. They're reporters in Europe. And he says, hey, he's been informed by the Kings that he's not part of the plans next season. His priority is to stay in the NBA. Kings will try to trade him.
Sure.
And that came in at 4:03 in the morning, right? And then at 5:18, we get sort of a rebuttal from Mihalis Stefanou. which from like some people on Twitter have told me that he's closer to Sasha. Anyway, he's informed Sacramento Kings that he doesn't intend to return for a second year of his contract, and that's open whether he'll continue his career or he'll decide to return to Europe. Like, both of these are slightly weird because you can't just say, hey, I'm not returning, and, you know, in European basketball, maybe they have this ability where you can just go somewhere else. I certainly know in soccer, you can't inform your club that you don't want to be there anymore.
Sure.
And they can try to find someone who takes on your salary and then work out some sort of transfer fee. But in the NBA, it's a lot different. You know, he has 1 year guaranteed this coming season at like $6.6 million. And then the next year is a team option at $7
million. Mm-hmm.
He could walk away from that contract and just say, hey, just if you don't mind, I'd like you to void that contract. And the Kings could go, okay, we'll void your contract, but, you know, with a clause saying that you can't, you know, go to some other team in the NBA.
Sure.
But that would mean he'd walk away from $6.6 million. And, you know, back in Europe, he was making like $2 million a year. Mm-hmm. And that was after like multiple raises. And that was to keep him in from going to the NBA.
Right.
So that's a lot of money to walk away from. But, hey, maybe that's what the plan is. So I don't know. It's conflicting and it's confusing. And I would just say, look, he didn't have a great rookie season. And I don't know how he fits going forward. But I'll keep saying this, as much as people might want to blame Sasha, I kind of blame the roster as well. And just like the right players weren't in place to support him in the correct way. And I thought when he was on the court, he was better defensively than I thought he was going to be. I thought the shooting was as advertised. He just didn't get enough reps to actually get in a rhythm and sort of find himself. But overall, I thought, you know, there was clear room for improvement in year two. And I was looking forward to seeing him after working with the NBA training staff for an entire offseason, what he looked like. And I think that they could have cleaned up some of like his sort of limitations issue. If he was here in Sacramento working. So we'll have to wait and see, but I think it's very rare for a team to actually tell somebody like, hey, like we're going to trade you this summer, because that's the only time you do that is when you have a deal already worked out.
Sure.
So, and that's possible. It is. It's possible that the Kings have already worked out a trade and they're just not going to announce it until the night of the draft. We talk about like negotiating. You can't negotiate with free agents, your own free agents, until the day after the finals. Teams can be talking to each other right now all they want about like specific trades that could go down, or, you know, some things that they've been working on. So we don't really know what's happening.
Yeah, I don't. I guess it would make sense, though, if Sasha's like, yeah, hey, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. And he talked to the Kings and said, hey, what's my role going forward? And the Kings said, nah, nothing right now. You don't really have one. And I think if you're Sasha, and you don't even have to ask, you can read the tea leaves.
Yeah.
And you can go, hey, if this team is going to get significantly better in their rotation, and they're going to add, let's say the Kings check all the boxes that we want to see them check this offseason. And let's say they add Brandon Ingram. And then let's say they add a rotation player, a top eight rotation player. Sasha's not moving up.
No.
In the rotation. That's a really, really steep hill to climb. And so he probably has another season where he's playing, what did he play, 42 games, 12 minutes a night. He's going to get a couple of shots. He's probably mostly going to be a white flag. Here, game's over. You go out there and mess around for a little bit. I think that was kind of his ceiling. And this is not a 20-year-old dude. He's 28.
Almost 29.
Yeah. I don't think there's some version of Sasha Vezenkov where he's in the Kings rotation and playing big-time minutes next year. And like you said, after that, his contract's not guaranteed. And the Kings have a window here that they're trying to maximize, and I don't know if you're a big believer in Sasha. I would want to know how. Like, he's just not the right combination of things to be effective for the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the problem that you have is it, there is a world in which he could actually work in Sacramento. I totally think that there is a way in which that could happen.
How?
I think you would
have
to...
What does that look like to you?
You would have to have a super long and super athletic, like, 3 and 5 to go with him, like, off the bench.
Sure.
So like, look, if the Kings... I guess... Like, if you were to go out and sign Jonas Valanciunas and have sort of a tough guy back there,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. But, like, you need a Derrick Jones Jr. or you need a long, super athletic dude mm-hmm. to play with him, a guy who can block shots. I just think for some of the players on this team, it was almost unfair. Like, the way the roster was built was not conducive to their play style.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think a better way to put it is the types of players they have don't complement each other correctly. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to blame a guy who, you know, is, again, slow-footed, doesn't have great lateral quickness, but is a great shooter and an incredible off-the-ball mover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's open
high
all
IQ
the time.
Player, for
yeah,
sure.
Super high IQ.
Yeah.
But you have to pair that with players that can defend for him, that can help take away some of the pressure off of him, and the Kings don't have that style of team
mm-hmm.
where he could fill in and you know, even if they would have played him with a guy like Keegan Murray more, mm-hmm. that might have helped. But like, if we're sitting here like trying to scrape together minutes with like weird combinations of players,
mm-hmm.
like that's not going to work. And like, he to me, he's too similar to what Trey Lyles brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Trey Lyles is a better all-around player.
I agree.
And that's kind of it. Like, you have sort of redundancy there. And if you would have put Trey at the backup five for a bunch of minutes,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing, but they didn't do that. And so it's tough because I don't think you can stop anybody if you have Trey Lyles and Sasha Vezenkov playing side by side.
Yeah, it can't be your front court.
No, it can't be your front court off the bench.
And he just doesn't... He just doesn't do enough. He's not shooting on the move a lot. He's pretty much like spot-up shooter only. At least that's the way the Kings used him. He's not like putting the ball on the deck and playmaking. He's just, yeah, he's going to cut back door and he's going to shoot it when he gets the ball in his hands in the corner or above the break or wherever. And it's not like he set the nets on fire. It's not like he's shooting 47% from three. He's 37.5%.
Yeah.
He's a good shooter. He's not, like, that's not to say there's not a role for him somewhere in the NBA. But I think his role is, yeah, hey, we need a little bit of shooting tonight. Let's get Sasha out there. I don't know that there's going to be much for him beyond that, especially because, like you said, he turns 29 in August.
Yeah.
He's going to be 29 for all of next season in his second year in the NBA. Like, it is what he is.
Yeah. Well, and I think, unfortunately for him, too, the two injuries, they didn't just set him back. Like, when you're injured in the NBA, it can be a really, really lonely world.
Oh, brutal.
And when you're not from here and you're already lonely, and then you have that become an issue where you're not on the court with the fellas,
yeah,
hanging out and doing, you know, yeah, having practice and shoot around and all that stuff, and you're not able to do it, it can be a dark place. Mm-hmm. So I thought at the end of the season, he said he didn't make a mistake coming over. He doesn't have any regrets coming over to the NBA.
Sure.
You know, that he was excited to see where this went. But, you know, like, I don't know that the Kings are the perfect spot for him.
Yeah.
And whether that the Kings can find him a new home or if he just goes back to Europe. I mean, it would be complicated, but not impossible for him to go back to Europe. And it's possible that he would reduce his salary really low to get to buy out and go back to Europe. That's mm-hmm. possible. I just think it would take some negotiations. We'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely hope he catches on somewhere and, you know, maybe he talked to the Kings and realized that he wasn't going to have a role and thinks he could, or maybe it's just what you said. Like, last year was just kind of a bummer and he's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
That would make sense too. We'll talk about what this means for the Kings, with Sasha Vezenkov, what it means financially, what it means for their rotation, what it means for their roster. And we'll have some NBA Finals coming up as well after the Celtics took a 2-0 lead over the Mavs. And Shaquille O'Neal said a really, really interesting thing over the weekend that I want to get to as well. Also, starting tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to be carrying BetMGM tonight. That is the show that Trista Crick is a host on with Ryan Horvat and Nick Ashew. They do a really, really great job on BetMGM tonight. Ryan Horvat is going to join us at 11:30 to talk about the finals. He's a Wisconsin guy. Maybe we'll talk some NFL with him. I don't know. We'll get into a bunch of stuff with Ryan. That's coming up at 11:30. He's really, really fun, so looking forward to that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
That's non-winning behavior in our building.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll have some NBA final stuff coming up for you in a bit. We've also got Ryan Horvat of BetMGM tonight coming up at 11:30. We'll talk a little bit of everything with Ryan. He's a ton of fun. BetMGM tonight going to start on ESPN 1320 tonight at 6 o'clock. So after Run It Back, so it'll be D'Lo and Casey, then we'll have Run It Back, and then we'll have BetMGM tonight for you. And then Shaquille O'Neal said a really interesting thing over the weekend that we'll talk about as well. But I want to continue this Sasha Vezenkov discussion here for a bit. So whether he asked out or the Kings told him that he's going to be out, I think we'll get there eventually. Like at some point, maybe after the finals, maybe after the draft, we'll get a clearer picture of what's going on with Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
He might get traded, like we said, during the draft, but the full story is not done there yet. What does this mean for Sacramento financially? If he says, hey, NBA is not my bag, I'm just going to go back to Europe and be an MVP candidate over there, and that's what I'm going to do. What does that mean for the Kings?
Well, first of all, he's going to have to negotiate with the Kings to get out of his contract here.
Okay.
Right? So, and that's not, I mean, there's usually some give and take there. Like if the Kings just flat out waived him tomorrow, they could stretch provision him, which it's twice a year's year salary plus one more year. So they could break his $6.6 million up into $2.2 million over the next 3 years.
Got it.
Right? So that, like if you waive a player, that's what you would do. I don't think the Kings are going to do that because number one, He is a trade chip, or at least an expiring contract that they could trade between now and, you know, whatever, right? Because his final year contract is not guaranteed. And a team would take on a $6.6 million contract with no problem, even if they weren't going to have the player, as long as it's part of a much larger package, right?
Yeah.
Especially an expiring contract. So there are ways that you could get around that, right? But like even in like worst case scenario, let's just say he says, I don't want anything. I'm just going to leave. And the Kings work out a deal where they literally just void the final year of his contract. And then the option year isn't picked up and he just goes away. It doesn't help the Kings. The Kings are already without anything done right now at all. They're at $152 million dedicated salary, which is $11 million over the cap.
Man.
So that doesn't help them at all, and especially if we're talking about going out and signing Malik Monk. Malik Monk, again, we've talked about this before. The only way for the Kings to offer Malik Monk more than $17.4 or $17.5 million is they have to not only get below the salary cap, so they have to shave $11 million off just to get to the salary cap, but then on top of that, let's say they want to offer him $25 million. They've got to get at least $25 million under the cap after dropping the first $11 million. So now we're up to 36. But then you have minimum roster holds. So you got to make sure you have enough roster spots. You have to have a minimum. And if not, there's $1.1 million for everyone. So if you have to trade away five players and for nothing, now you're going to have these roster spots. So in order for them to give Monk more than to give him $25 million a year, they would have to like clear out so much cap space. It'd be the 11 plus probably another 30. So how can you get rid of $41 million bucks? Sasha Vezenkov's salary in that, you know, it's not even a drop in the bucket when it comes to that. So there's no way for them to do, to give him more than the $17.4 million unless they clear true cap space.
Okay. And this just opens a roster spot then.
It does. It opens a roster spot. Well, I mean, we'd have to see like how they deal with this. Like if he's thrown in on a trade, okay. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you do a 2-for-1, a 3-for-1, whatever.
Sure.
So again, if you're trying to get up to like a trade to get Kyle Kuzma, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about this, the 200% rule. So a guy like Sasha, because he makes less than a certain dollar amount, you can trade his salary for basically twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
So his 6.5 becomes 13 million.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Duarte's goes from 6 million to 12 million. Mm-hmm. That's 25 million bucks that you can trade, and that would match, that you can acquire back. So so that would actually equal, you could fit a guy like Kyle Kuzma into that trade, mm-hmm. and that's without messing with any of the other players on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
But you would be taking on a whole bunch more, $9, $10 million in salary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to bump up your dollar amount. That would push the Kings more and more towards the luxury tax. I think it's more likely you would see something like a 3-for-1 in a deal just for a player that makes 22, 23 million bucks like Kyle Kuzma.
Sure.
And the Kings can do that. They've got Davion at 6 million. They've got 6.5 million for Sasha, and they've got 6 million for Duarte.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kings have movable pieces here, but that doesn't mean that they are going to be able to move something or that someone's going to take whatever it is they're offering.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if he is, in fact, not part of the plan, and I don't know that that's the case. I mean, the Kings were so high on him when they were mm-hmm. trying to get him to come over. They were so incredibly high on him. And for it to go south like this, if that's what in fact has happened, it would be a little crazy. So, and I'm not convinced that everything we're reading from overseas is 100% accurate. I mean, again, we have two reports and they totally contradict each other.
Yes.
So that's the difficult thing. And the one someone says, sends me a tweet, hey, the guy who sent the first report is not very reliable. And it's like, okay, but the
based
second,
on what?
I don't know.
Sure.
Like just like the other guy is way more reliable and he's closer to Sasha. So if I look at the two reports, I'm looking at them like, okay, one of them is pretty reactionary. Like one of them says, hey, he's been told by the Kings, he's not going to be part of it. And then the next is like, he's informed the Kings. So like both of these like reports, they're very different and they kind of hold different value. And so I don't know what to make of it. I think we're going to have to wait and see how it all plays out a little bit further. But I, you know, whether he's going to be on the roster or not next season, I have no idea. I think there's always a way in which he mm-hmm. is. And he, if he wants to decide to continue his NBA career, for right now, it's with the Sacramento Kings. He's under contract.
So there's no, so, but I'm getting hung up on, because really, to me, whether the Kings told him he's out or whether he wants out, I think that's kind of inconsequential for me.
Okay.
It's just, okay, Sasha's not going to be part of this. What if it's a him thing or a Kings thing? I don't know, and I don't really care. But like, is there a way then where he's just like, you know what, this isn't for me? He negotiates a deal with the Kings where he basically bounces out of his contract and heads back to Europe.
Yep.
That in that instance, the Kings just now have a roster spot.
They have a roster spot, and it reduces their salary by whatever he drops his money by.
Got it. Okay.
So again, if he takes $2 million to walk away,
mm-hmm.
and the Kings could clear at $4.5 million, so instead of being at $152 million, they drop to $147.5 million mm-hmm. or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
So there is a way for the Kings to save money on their salary, which could help them, because again, if they want to make another move or a couple of mm-hmm. moves that bring back a bunch more money, okay.
Yeah.
That might work. And there's also a possibility that he could get traded to a team and then get bought out by that team mm-hmm. in a specific way. So maybe he is a player that you could trade, and then like he's willing to leave for less money
mm-hmm.
and walks away from the NBA. And so a team could trade for his money and then get a break on the backside.
Yeah.
So there's always possibilities for like a bunch of things here. But you know, if he's going to play, as of right now, he is a Sacramento King. So I'm not prepared to say, hey, this whole thing is over and he's gone.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to say that, just because of two reports from overseas.
Okay, that's fair.
A lot can happen between now and, you know, next season.
In my mind, he's gone.
That's
my mind,
okay.
It's over.
I mean,
it's
you can
all
feel
over.
That way. Yeah.
It's all done. Yeah. Well, any update that there is on that, we'll have it for you, and we'll talk about it then. But for right now, it, according to two reports, Sasha Vezenkov either wants out or is being kicked out.
Something
that's,
like that.
That's where
yeah.
it's at. We'll hopefully get more information here in the coming weeks. The NBA Finals are going on right now, and the Celtics now lead the Mavericks 2-0. We'll talk a little bit about last night's game and whether there's any reason to believe this series is going to continue beyond 4 or 5 games.
Whew.
Tough. Tough go so far for the Mavs. And also, Jason Tatum reminds me of somebody. Reminds me of a player, and I think you'll find the comp a little bit interesting. Here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
The Celtics beat the Mavs again last night. They lead that final series 2-0. And man, I thought game one showed us that series was over. To me, game two was the opportunity for Dallas to come out, to for Kyrie Irving specifically, to come out and be better.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it after game one. I definitely don't see it after game two. Because Luka was really good yesterday. I think Luka was about as good as he can be against a defense as good as Boston's. And the Mavs just don't have it, man. They just don't have enough.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I mean, I think it's interesting because we can look at some of the players that are coming off the bench and playing for the Celtics. Like, again, I don't think that Hauser has been very good. He had a little small stretch where he started hitting some shots.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like Dallas has like three of those guys playing on each and every night. And the fact that, you know, we're trying to debate who's better between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and the other duo is just realistically one player. Mm-hmm. Like Kyrie just hasn't been a factor. And no. I think he's totally hurt that team, whatever the reason. So his, like, the Kyrie redemption tour is kind of taken like a detour again. And I think it's really interesting to watch because this was something we talked about coming into the series. They have so many good perimeter defenders that they can limit what Dallas wants to do. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, how come they're not doing all these pick and rolls and they're not doing these different sets that were so successful in Minnesota against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that because the Celtics have taken it away.
Right, you can't.
Because they're incredible defensively.
Yes.
I mean, the blocks that we're seeing in the series on both sides, like some of the action has been absolutely incredible. Some of the defensive plays have been nuts, but I just keep watching these like ridiculously silly looking lean in shots that Luka is shooting from all over the place. He is like so well defended.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he can do, and he needs more help. But I also think he needs to use the players around him like he has in the previous series. And I think maybe that's part of this. Like when you are put into a pressure cooker, like he's being put into, a lot of times you regress to who you are as throughout your career.
Yeah.
And that might be a little bit of what's happening.
Yeah, maybe. But also, I'm looking at some stats right now. Big numbers guy. Luka, so far, is averaging 31, 10.5, and 6 with 3 steals a game. He's shooting 51% from the field and 38% from 3. He is 8 of 21 from 3. The rest of the Mavs combined are 5 of 32 from 3. Nobody's made more than one three-pointer. PJ Washington, 1 for 8. Kyrie, 0 for 8. Derek Jones Jr., 1 for 5. Jaden Hardy, 1 for 3. Josh Green, 1 for 4. Dante Exum knocked one down as well. Good for him. 1 for 1.
They're
not getting enough, man. And no. Of all the people in this series that I thought would be a non-factor, Kyrie Irving, not on my list.
Yeah, we had him as probably one of the third or fourth best player in this series.
Yeah. Yeah, three or four, depending on how you felt about Jaylen Brown going in.
Yeah, I think at this point, it really does look like Luka followed by the two Celtics, followed by another Celtic in probably Derek White, like his impact defensively, and then Drew Holiday is right there.
Yep.
And then where's Porzingis? I mean, I'm not sure.
Porzingis above Kyrie right now.
Yeah. So what do we got? Five Celtics above the next best player on the Mavs. And
so far in this series, yeah.
And it's not like Luka is doing so much that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Luka's averaging 45 a night, you'd be like, all right, like, there's going to be some players that are having some downtime.
Yeah.
That's just not the case.
I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots, during their run, the big selling point, I guess, of their defense, or what made them great, was their ability to force you into things you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
They went, what's your A-plus pitch? Okay, we're going to take that away. And now what can you do playing with one hand tied behind your back? And that's what the Celtics have done to the Mavericks. PJ Washington, Jason Timpf from Hoops Tonight on our show brought up PJ Washington shooting above the break versus the corner. Elite corner three-point shooter, terrible above the break three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Boston is just forcing him to be above the break. They're not allowing him to get down into the corner where he's comfortable. And that's it. They're tying a hand behind the Mavs back and saying, hey, Derek Lively's not going to be able to play in this series. Daniel Gafford, his impact is going to be very minimal. Yeah, Derek Jones Jr., let's see how you do against the Michael Jordan version of yourself and Jaylen Brown. Who else am I missing here? PJ Washington? Like, yeah, no. Kyrie and Luka, we're just going to switch on you guys and you figure it out. Maybe if Kristaps Porzingis is going to be out for some considerable amount of time, maybe that swings the series. Maybe he is really the linchpin to all of this. But I think what we're seeing, and it doesn't have to be that complicated, the Celtics are a better team, and they are so dialed in. I still have my buddy who's the big Hoops fan who texted me during game one is like, I'll believe the Celtics when they're hoisting the trophy. Is still like, eh. Like, I don't know. Like, dude, this is a different Celtics team, man.
They're breaking news.
Oh, we got breaking news.
From Adrian Wojnarowski. Connecticut's Dan Hurley has turned down the Los Angeles Lakers' $70 million offer and will return to chase a third straight national title. Sources tell ESPN.
Yo!
LA would have made him one of the NBA's 6 highest paid coaches.
He turned down a 6-year, $70 million contract?
That's a lot of money. Wow.
Holy smokes.
Wow. Sorry to interrupt everything, but...
No, that's fine. I was hoping that news would break during our show.
Whew. That is
holy
tremendous.
Holy smokes.
Tremendous. Wow. Well,
that's interesting. That news broke at 1:40 p.m. Pacific time?
Eastern time, yes.
I'm sorry, Eastern time.
Yep.
And there was that thing today I read you from Twitter, that reporter who does some work on the East Coast. He works for a bunch of different publications out there. And he said UConn's basketball practice has been moved up from noon to 2. Mm. Or to 2 from noon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he got pushed back 2 hours. And so that news breaks about 20 minutes before that practice is supposed to start, meaning Dan Hurley was probably in a meeting with the Lakers today.
Mm.
Which is why their practice got moved.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Absolutely wild. And
if Mike Brown hadn't signed his contract, or not negotiate, I don't know if he signed it or not. If he'd not negotiated a deal with the Kings, do you think that this would have been a factor? Bobby Hurley getting a 6-year, $70 million offer?
Dan Hurley. Yeah.
Jeez. I cannot. You know what?
I don't think it would have mattered, Kyle.
I just face planted into a wall this morning and haven't been able to get off that wall. It's fine.
I don't think it would have mattered because so many other coaches got, you know, like the Ty Lue contract was just outlandish, like right then.
Yeah, but at least Ty Lue like has a title and an NBA resume.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Dan Hurley has some college basketball championships. He's a really good coach, for sure.
Yeah.
But first time NBA coaching job, he's going to get 6 and 70? That's wild. J.J. Redick?
Wow.
Was Shams right the whole time?
The wrinkles, man. This is one of those ones that you're just looking at like, holy cow, look at the ripple effect. This whole entire like media blitz over this, the battle behind the scenes has been absolutely wild and crazy. I am glad they did this on a non-finals day.
Yeah.
Like, give the finals like it's due.
Yeah.
Then again, they could have J.J. Redick on the finals call. What is it, tomorrow or is it Wednesday? Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, and he literally could have just been named the Lakers head coach. And so we could
that would
have
be
that.
Such a Lakers thing to do.
Yeah.
That would be such a Lakers thing to do. You'd have to pull him from the broadcast, right? Because they get to be in like production meetings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
Like, he'd be done on the broadcast. Mid-finals? Oh, my God. That'd be peak Lakers.
We have a follow-up tweet.
Please. Yeah, give me that.
After a dogged pursuit of Hurley over the past weeks, Lakers will regroup and resume bringing in candidates for interviews with hope of hiring a coach by draft, sources say. James Borrego is expected to remain part of the group, and Lakers could do their first formal interview with J.J. Redick.
It's going to wind up being J.J. Redick, right?
This might be the first time that that J.J. Redick was mentioned by Adrian Wojnarowski.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's the case.
It's wild.
It's time for everybody's favorite segment, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, Dan Hurley staying at UConn. Your thoughts? Hey, Mitch.
Hello?
Yeah, Dan Hurley staying at UConn. Your thoughts?
Oh, that's great. How you guys doing? I'm sorry. trying to be Mr. Green Thumb here in my yard here. Well, first of all, if Sasha doesn't want to be here, we can always find somebody else. He's just a backup, apparently. He's not taking over like Luca.
No doubt.
I will go with Anthony Melton. I think eventually him and Fox will make a great start in the back corner. You have Monk and Mitchell back there. And we're too bad for the Lakers. I want to see him. I'm not a Connecticut fan, but to win any sport 3 years in a row, that would be amazing.
No doubt. Thanks,
Sorry
Mitch.
Sorry for my delay. I apologize.
All good, buddy. Good luck with the gardening. Thanks. Love Mitch. He's the best.
I thought he was doing a bit and just like birds chirping. Like, what do you think? And chirp, chirp, chirp.
Like, I got nothing for you on Dan Hurley.
I got nothing for you.
Getting this D'Anthony Melton take off, though.
Wild.
If D'Anthony Melton signs with the Kings, I'm going to ship a D'Anthony Melton Kings jersey to Mitch in New Jersey. That's happening.
Yeah.
That's the thing I will do for him.
Hmm.
He's been on that D'Anthony Melton train for weeks now.
He is. He is on that train for sure.
Yeah. Big D'Anthony Melton guy.
Wild.
916-909-1320-916-909-1320 if you want to join the program. Is this Don?
This is Big E.
Sorry, Big E. What's up, bro?
I did want to talk finals, but with
Please.
The Dan Hurley news going on, obviously money wasn't the issue. Do you think it's because the news broke early and that turned him off? Or like he had like a meeting and just like he saw LeBron was like the GM and was like, I don't want to be here if the coach or if a player has so much power. I'm not sure, honestly. I want to hear what you guys think.
Fascinating. Thanks, Biggie. Appreciate you. I don't think it was because the news broke early. I would love to know what he's getting paid by UConn. And if there's some extension in the works with UConn or some like lifetime contract type deal. But I think part of it was what the plan is for the Lakers in the post LeBron era. Like if you're Dan Hurley, that has to play a major role, right? Because this is you're leaving a program in UConn where you won two consecutive national titles. And you're in a spot where you can very, very much go win a third in a row. Mm-hmm. You can become a legend in the college game. If you're going to give that up for your first NBA head coaching job, you want to make sure that you're in a spot where you're set up to like succeed long term. There's a 6-year deal on the table from the Lakers, right? Okay, what do you think that's two or three years of LeBron?
Yeah, maybe.
And that's 2 or 3 years of LeBron impacting games at what level? And what is the roster going to look like after that? Where, hey, if you don't bring a title in those 3 years, are they going to punt you because they want to bring in a new coach who's going to rebuild something? I don't blame him, man. I don't blame him for looking and going, I want to coach in the NBA, but this is not the spot.
Well, that and Kyle, that team is still, it doesn't matter who's coaching that team, it's probably still a 6, 7, 8 seed. At best, and that's if you're able to keep, you know, Band-Aid those guys together and keep them on the court. Like, I don't know that that's possible. I like what they did last year with LeBron playing like 37 minutes a game. That's wild, man.
It's pretty crazy.
So, like, sure, you're the 8 seed last year, 47-35, but like just the sheer volume. LeBron played 35.3 minutes per game. Anthony Davis, 35.5. Anthony Davis played 76 games. I don't know how many times in his career he's played 76 games, but I don't think it's a lot.
It's zero.
It is zero. It's the most games he's ever played in his NBA career.
Yep.
And if you think at 31, 32, 33, you're going to get that many games out of Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis is tough. 31, bro.
Yeah.
That hurts. That one stings. That one really stings.
Yeah. It's tough because, like, I get it. You're under so much scrutiny with the Lakers. You don't have free reign, especially until the LeBron era is over. And then what happens? And you
I have
know,
no idea.
They can promise you that they're going to go get another star, and they might get another star. They're the Lakers. That's what happens. But I just don't know that I want to put my eggs in that basket, and that's a tough one. Like if OKC were to come to you and say, hey, look, we want you to take over our program and we're set up for the next decade, you have to at least consider it, even though it's living in Oklahoma City versus LA.
Sure.
Like, that would at least be a job where you're like, okay, I see the arc here. I see where we're going. I just don't know that, like, you would have to have some sort of input on roster moves and everything else. At least that's what I would want if I was Dan Hurley. That's really difficult.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, even though it's living in OKC instead of Storrs, Connecticut.
Oh.
I thought that's where you're going. I was like, ah, it's probably preferable.
Yeah. Connecticut, I don't know.
I spent some time in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Storrs is not a place that I would like love to hang out all the time.
Okay.
That's all. Maybe if I went to school there.
Well, but maybe if you're the basketball coach and everywhere you went, everyone just like bought your meals. And...
Which is right. Which is where he's, that's how he's set up now.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he's making plenty of money. I don't know if it's 11 and a half a year or whatever his contract at the Lakers would have come out to. It's 6 and 70. I don't know if he's making that much.
No, he's not.
But like you said, he's never going to have to pay for a meal again. He's probably got some pretty sweet perks with the school. He gets to have full control over the roster and the program at all times.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to deal with Rob Pelinka. He doesn't have to deal with LeBron. He doesn't have to deal with Jeannie Buss.
Okay, so this is what I heard last week. I had heard that the Lakers contract offer was between 10 and 11 million per season. And that UConn had moved up between 8 and 8.5 million per season. So yeah, it's a substantial difference. But he's also negotiating right now, it looks like, with UConn to get another pay bump. And on top of that, you know, from Woj, as swept away as Hurley became by the Lakers' courtship and vision for him, he ultimately couldn't walk away from a chance to make history and pursue a third straight NCAA title. Even before the Lakers talks, Hurley had already had a UConn offer to become one of the highest pay coaches, NCAA coaches, and those talks will continue per source. Yeah.
The other thing with the Lakers, you said they'd go get a star, right? Let's start in 2013-14, because that began a six-year stretch where the Lakers won 27, 21, 17, 26, 35, and 37 games.
Whew.
And that 37 games was the year LeBron arrived.
Yeah. Well, they went young.
Yeah.
They went young. They had a couple of drafts where they had super top-tier
Kuzma
picks.
And Josh Hart and... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it's Ingram and Lonzo and Julius Randle.
Oh, Julius Randle. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. So they had the pieces.
I legitimately forgot all those guys played for the Lakers.
Yeah. They had all those pieces in place and then they went away from it. So, yeah.
Yikes, man. Tough. Anyways, Mike Brown got 5 games into the 2012-13 season and they punted.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I think that was like Kobe. Kobe gave the look like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it was Bernie Bickerstaff for 5 games and then Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, yeah.
Who went 40-32 that year and then the next year 27-55 and then he was out. Like, I don't know. I would go to the Lakers basketball reference page if they wanted to hire me to be a head coach. Not me. If I was a head coach of Dan Hurley's caliber, because look, Dan Hurley's going to have every opportunity he wants in the NBA. Any opportunity that comes up, he can put his name in the hat and be a very serious candidate for that job. And I think you're looking at this and going, man, all right, so let's see. Since LeBron arrived, this is their fourth coach since 2018-19. Like, the expectation is so high and you're just not going to get the resources you need to meet that expectation.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be on you. You didn't do a good enough job. I don't blame him. 6 and 70 is a lot, though.
It is.
I would take $70 million for 6 years of work.
Well,
in case anybody here is listening.
And there's a good chance that you're going to get 3 years of work, maybe four, and things will go sideways and you'll still get paid.
And then you got to go back to college and be at square one again.
Yeah, but square one, you're still going to get a top 10 program. Yeah.
I'm really rooting for Dan Hurley and UConn now.
Okay.
I have very little interest in men's basketball outside of the tournament.
NCAA men's
college basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm rooting... this year I will be a UConn fan. Yes, because I want to see Dan Hurley win a third in a row. That'd be cool.
It's kind of, this reminds me of like the Tom Izzo pursuit, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone tried to get Izzo to leave and and then like every time you thought he was going to leave, he didn't.
Yeah.
So there were a couple opportunities there and like it, what do we have? The Phoenix opportunity and then the Pistons at one point and he decided to stay in the college game and, you know, he'll be a legend there forever and kind of the way it goes.
That's just it. If your aspiration when you go to coach in college is to coach in the NBA, then I could see, you know, yep, any opportunity that comes up, I'm going to take it. That's this college thing was a means to an end. Here I go. But if you just wanted to be a great college coach, I don't think that the NBA would be that enticing if you just really love, yeah, hey, every year I'm going to have a different roster and I get to mold these young men into great basketball players and great men and that's what we're about here at this program and da 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 da. I can see where it's appealing for sure. And if you, like, dude, Dan Hurley's set for life in UConn or at UConn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Self with his lifetime contract at Kansas. Tom Izzo, legend. Nick Saban at Alabama. Nick Saban tried the NFL thing, quit on the Dolphins, and went back to college.
Yeah.
And went down as one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. It's just the difference in this day and age, the difference between college and pro is just not so wide that it's like, well, Tom Izzo wasn't actually a good coach because he never went to the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
No one's ever going to say that.
No, I don't think so either. And I don't think there's any shame in staying in the college game. And it's challenging, especially with all the new rules and all the new money that's flooded in and all that stuff. I think it makes it extremely complex to be a college coach.
Yeah.
And like maybe even a challenge that you're up for.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot more control over what your roster looks like. You have a lot more control over the recruiting of players and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just like something that appeals to him. It's the building side and not just the coaching side. So I don't know. Plus, I mean, doesn't UConn have a long history with their NCAA coaches of keeping them around as long as possible?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those spots where, again, he could probably be there for the rest of his coaching career.
Yeah, if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Jim Calhoun?
Yeah, Jim Calhoun. And then on the women's side, don't they have
Gino Auriemma? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gino's been there for like 30 plus years now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. So if you missed it, Dan Hurley has rejected the Lakers' overtures to be their next head coach. They offered him a 6-year, $70 million contract, according to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. So the Lakers' search for a new head coach now continues. For the content, we can all pray that it is JJ Redick.
That's right.
God, I want it to be JJ Redick so bad. I was finishing up this. I got a couple more things from the finals. Has the MVP ladder changed for you at all? After game one, it was Brown, Tatum, Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
I now have it as Brown, Tatum, Drew Holiday.
Mm.
And Drew Holiday has been excellent.
I think he's been excellent too. It's the big three in the big moment where they were having struggles hitting the 3-point shot, and then him and Derek White go back to back.
Just
I don't know,
took
man.
Over.
Derek White knows blocks though. That like his timing. Not only as a shot blocker, which is so impressive, but when he blocks shots, it always feels like it's one of the biggest moments in the game. It's such a swing moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if there was a foul, like the Mavs are about to cut the lead to two or to three, and just he flies out of nowhere and like, nope. I mean, it's so impressive what he's doing.
I have plenty more to say on that play. And where are we at? What time is it?
Yeah.
10:58. Okay. I have plenty more to say about that play specifically that you just mentioned. And I want to get to this Jason Tatum comparison because the more I think about it, the more it's wrong. But I want to run it by you anyway so we can talk about it on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.